Boy, the seminal event in my life was the famous blizzard of 1978 along the New England coast. It started on, well, actually there's two storms involved here, so it's a long story, but I guess that's what you want. January 20th, 1978, we had about a 20-inch snowfall in the Boston metro area that day. I think it was a Saturday, I forget now. And I was the perfect age. I was 13 and a half at the time. And, you know, so no responsibilities at all, except to look out the window. And we lived in a house that bordered a very small little woods. And we'd already, my friends and I, had for years made that our playground. And, you know, it was undisturbed wilderness, about 3 acres of it or something. And so when it snowed, we would walk around in the woods, and we were all aware of the fact that it was a very different place when there was snow on the trees. And there's a variety of different kinds of snow. You know, sometimes you get that heavy, wet snow. It's very uncommon here in southern Wisconsin, but it's extremely common in New England. And there's always the risk of the snow changing to rain there, and that's a scientific issue. It's always a major risk. So when the snow continues for hours and hours and hours, and the wind's from the southeast, and that's usually the portent of, oh no, here comes the warm ocean air and it's going to change to rain along the coast, and I was on the coast, and so we thought this was the end. We had on the 20th of January a prolonged snow with a southeast wind, and we ended up with 20 inches of rain of snow, and simply remarkable. And this was the storm of the century. This was, you know, 20 years before this word started to be used, or this phrase was used commonly. Storm of the century. And I was a paper boy at the time, so I got to read the headlines every morning that week about how things were going in town, about the snow removal and all the rest of it. And it was a major event. 6 days later, we were forecasted the 26th of January to have another major, major snowstorm. This one, unfortunately, developed extremely rapidly, but well to the west of the Hudson River. So that leaves New England on the warm side of the storm. And it rained. We had about 2 inches of rain. And there was so much snow from just a few days earlier that the drains were all clogged. And so we had 2 inches of water in just about every street. And then, as it happens with these storms in the wintertime, once the cold front passes, it gets cold really quickly, and especially true in this storm. This was a very intense cyclone. And temperature dropped like a rock, 30 degrees or so in a couple of hours. So from the 40s to the teens, all that water froze. We had no school. Not because of a snowstorm, but because there was ice everywhere. This was nearly unprecedented. I couldn't remember that and ever happening before. That was the 26th of January. And my friend Robbie down the street, who I mentioned earlier, he'd always come down, knock on my door, and just stand there. And I'd say, "So, what do you want to do, Robbie? Play hockey or something?" He said, "Nope." And he'd start pulling at an evergreen tree in my front yard, flicking off little things, and say, "Big storm coming, another one Wednesday." That was his forecast. It was continuously the case. You know, he was he's so interested in winter storms. This time he came down, he said, "Big storm coming Tuesday." I thought, "Oh, come on, I've heard this a million times." And Tuesday that week was going to be February 5th, I believe, 1978. And we all came, it started to snow that morning at about 10 o'clock. Forecasts were for a pretty big storm. And in 1978, those forecasts are not that accurate, 50% right maybe, because the modeling side of our science had hardly matured at all by that time. So we're in school watching it snow, then it stops at about 11 o'clock. Sun almost comes out. And I thought, oh man, this is a blown forecast. We're not going to get anything. So it looked like all that exciting winter weather was part of the past. Then we're walking home from school about 3 o'clock, and it starts to snow. And then by about 4, it's really snowing. And so we're up in the woods, you know, kind of listening to the radio out of this lean-to we'd built. Snow emergencies declared in Cambridge. Snow emergency in Boston. It's really starting to look exciting. My brother's in a play a mile away in a high school. So at about 6 o'clock, I get in the car with my dad, and we drive up to pick him up. And it's a whiteout. You can't even see in a mile, you know, a short distance. It took us about half an hour to get there and back. And we thought we were really in for it. And so I went to bed that night. The wind was picking up to about 45 miles per hour. And then slept through the night. I don't know how I slept through the night. I should have just stayed up. Woke up about 5:30 because I had to get ready to do my papers. And it was just a complete whiteout outside. Winds were in the 50-knot range. From the northeast, there was no chance it was going to change to rain. We knew we were in for it. And we already had about another 15 or 20 inches of snow on the ground. My dad wakes me up and says, "Hey, you got to see this." So I get out and look at the window. And then he gives me the surprise of my life. The Boston Globe and the Boston Herald ceased operation that day, and there was no paper for the next 3 days. No delivery anyway. You can find one in the archives. But we didn't have to deliver them for 3 days. This was the only time in my 8-year stint as a paperboy I had a reprieve from work. 3 days in a row. Certainly no school that day. We end up with about 28 inches of snow. Drifts over the back of my roof at my bedroom window, which was maybe 8 feet high because the winds were so strong. And it was a different snow for New England. It was a powdery light snow, much more like the kind we get here routinely. And Governor Dukakis declares a state of emergency in the state of Massachusetts. Only essential vehicles are allowed to drive from Wednesday until Saturday night, all that time, because they had to remove all that snow. In the meantime, we had to go shovel off the roof of my church because it was a big stained glass window against which a huge drift had developed, and nobody knew if it was going to hold, so we had to go up and shovel that off. That was an unprecedented experience, climbing up on a roof of a church. And then my friends and I did some snow shoveling for profit. And one lady who lived down the street, we didn't know this until we started knocking on doors, she was a nurse at Mass General. So she had to get to Mass General Hospital on Wednesday, the day after it stopped snowing, or Thursday, the day after it stopped snowing. And so the three of us, we're all about 13, decide we're going to shovel her a driveway. And there are places, of course, after the snow's drifted where it's only that deep. And you think, wow, this is great. But the snowbank was about 5 feet high, so we had to plow through that. That was probably 10 tons or more of snow. And then when we got close to our house, the drifts had gotten huge because they got close to the obstacle. So we first told her, we'll do it for $15. Halfway through, we said, no, that's not enough. This is a lot of work, 30. And then by the time we were done, all of this unbeknownst to her, by the time we were done, $45 was the fee. And myself being the youngest of the group, I was charged with going and informing her of the bad news that we'd tripled our fee by the time we finished the job. But she was so desperate to get out, she paid us. And, didn't give us any kind of bad stare or anything. So we made a little bit of money on that, but fraudulent business practices. But what an event. And I knew then, I was 13 and I'd been thinking about other sciences maybe to think about, maybe biological type sciences and whatnot. But when that happened, that was the end. I never again thought about anything else except understanding the atmosphere.